doing. We've talked about all kind of stuff. We've talked about that Jesus is inviting us into his kingdom, just like he invited Peter, he invited all the apostles, he invited Matt, all those guys. He invited those guys into kingdom life. And we talked about the kingdom and what all the kingdom was, and how we need to be about pushing forward the kingdom of God on the earth. And that's two parts. It's a part that we push forward the kingdom of God in our culture, but it's also a part that we push the kingdom of God forward even in our own lives, where we live righteous life and holy lives and lives that honor and please God. Amen? And so this morning, I want to do a series. I want to start in a series, right? Just this morning. I'm going to do a teaching this morning called Prepping for Kingdom Battles. Because as you push the kingdom forward, there are going to be battles that pop up. And we better be ready to fight those battles. So I'm going to talk about that this morning. And I'm going to start in a very crazy way by showing you a video that you're going to go, are you ready? How in the world does this even relate? Go ahead.
Look at the hustle of Lamar Odom. Off to Kobe Bryant! And Kobe with emphasis. Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! Ha-ha! He banks in the three! And the Lakers win the game! And that is just greatness personified.
Now Bryant again, out between the rings, guarded by Pippen. Kobe on the move, lobs for O'Neal, for the dunk! Kobe Bryant worked into the lane, and Shaq hammered it in with a right hand. Timeout, Portland.
The Lakers, because of this man, Kobe Bryant, can take over. And he posterizes Dwight Howard.
Oh, God.
He almost threw his elbow into the basket that time.
Cannot buy a triple. Kobe wheeling. What a play to Turiaf. And the foul.
And a chance to tie.
What a delivery by Kobe Bryant.
Nice rotation of Bryant. Buckle up for Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant just sucked the gravity out of the target center. What a play.
The windmill slam.
Run out by Kobe Bryant. Behind.
Oh! What did I just see?
You just saw what Kobe does best, and that's bring people to their feet with a sensational play.
Here we got a dribble drive, change of direction by Bryant. Slam dunk. Woo!
You talk about elevation. Chick, he went up to the rafters before he decided to put somebody on a poster.
They'd love to get it into Nash's hands, and they do.
Well,
knocked away, stolen by Parker.
Oh, here it is.
Here comes George to Kobe Bryant. Bryant inside. It's good. It's good. Tie game.
A one-point game.
Walton can tip it. Bryant with the save.
Oh, you got to get a shot here.
Final seconds. Bryant for the win. Bang!
Kobe Bryant has hit a shot.
Away from Elgin Baylor's Laker record.
For three again. Yes!
Well, they're 70.
Everybody wants it to get into Kobe's hand. Kobe pump fake for two. Kobe stopped the Laker record. 81-point game. Ladies and gentlemen, you have witnessed the second greatest scoring performance in NBA history.
All right, what in the world is David doing this morning? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, I don't know about you, I'm not a huge basketball fan, but something about that just goes, oh. Kobe Bryant, let me read a couple of his stats. Five-time NBA champion, two-time NBA Finals MVP, 18-time NBA All-Star, four-time NBA, of those 18, four of those he was an MVP. In his career, he had over 33,000 points. That's 25, if you follow basketball, that's 25 points per game. Unreal. 2006, he had what they just showed. He had an 81-point game. He scored by himself 81 points. 81 points. He also has 2 gold medals. He's one of the most dominating players who ever played the game of basketball, Kobe Bryant. I don't care if you like the Lakers. I don't care if you don't like basketball. I don't care. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, let me read something. See, people only see Kobe Bryant, the basketball player. They only see, they go, wow, you just go, wow, what amazing talent, right? That's kind of what you're, kind of your go-to, right? Wow, that's just amazing talent. You're like, I don't even know. And then if you don't like basketball, if you don't even care about all this stuff, think of another athlete. Think of a musician that you love, right? That's outstanding musician. Think of whoever that person is who just excels in their career, right? Or their knowledge of whatever that is, right? We're going to talk about the Bible, and these guys that you're going to hear from, they just don't have a gifting to learn, you know. They did something about it. Amen. So let me read you what Kobe Bryant does. Or I don't know if he still does, but while he played, he retired a couple of years ago. While he played, this is what Kobe Bryant did every single day. He had a 6-hour workout session that was divided in six hours, divided into 4 parts. 2 hours was track work, and that track work he did, which included 2 hours of this, included 100-yard sprints, 240-yard sprints, jogging, walking for 2 hours, right? That's enough for most of us, right? Then he did 2 hours of basketball skills in where he did his dribbling and all that stuff. He practiced all of that stuff. And then every day, 700 to 1,000 shots every single day. And then 10 minutes of defensive stuff and 9 minutes of just shoot around. He did an hour of cardio, which included running, jumping, swimming, walking, all kind of stuff that he would do for an hour, cardio. And if that wasn't enough, he needed to make sure he was strong enough, so he did another hour of weightlifting. Kobe Bryant. You know what made Kobe Bryant great? A great basketball player? He had natural skill, without a doubt. Kobe Bryant, at a young age, had very natural skill. But let me tell you something, a lot of people have natural basketball skill. A lot of people out there on the courts have natural basketball skill. What helped him go to that next level was his daily routine. Was his daily routine. See, the people didn't see that, right? And when you watch that, you go, oh gosh, he's just so natural, just has that ability to just move and just move himself, even in the air, just do windmill slams and all that kind of stuff. And His first step, like the first step is basically when you're in front of your opponent, right? And you make a drive to the basket. Your first step was like almost unbeatable. You couldn't guard it. But you know what? It's because he practiced. See, that shot that he made to win the game that we saw a minute ago, that shot was almost, it looks almost effortless, right? That's because he'd taken thousands, thousands, and thousands of those shots. Better get to some scripture. Scripture, 2 Corinthians 9. It says, do you not know that all in a race, all the runners run, but only one received the prize? Run in such a way that you take the prize. And then watch this. Everyone who competes in the game trains with strict discipline. They do it for a crown. They do it for a crown that is perishable. We do it for a crown that's imperishable. This scripture has 2 things to say. It says this. First of all, it says this, maybe a couple more than 2 things. It says 2 main things I want to get to. But one of the things it says is that we're all in a race. We're all in a race. It says all the people in a race run. But then he makes the assumption, right, that we're in the race by him saying, run in such a way to take the prize. He makes the assumption that we're all in this run, this race, that we are part of this race. He says, run in such a way that you'll take the prize. Run in such a way that you'll take the prize. And I have to look back at myself and go, David, am I running in a way to win my race?
That's 1 Corinthians.
I'm sorry, I said that's my bad. I put it in my notes. It is 1 Corinthians. Oh, okay. That's right. That's right. That's it. See, I was just testing you to make sure who was watching and paying attention, who was backing. I'm just kidding. No, that was my bad. That's very good. That's good. That's why we're teaching the Bible. Oh my goodness. That is right. It is 1 Corinthians. That is my bad. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's 1 Corinthians for those. For those who are listening on the podcast, it is 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 25. It says, people who compete do so with strict discipline. So do we, right? They do it for a crown that is perishable, but we do it. Interesting that he say, makes another assumption, but we do it. What do we do? Do we do what? We train. We train. See, the assumption that Paul is saying here is he's making the correlation that we're trying to make. We're making this with Kobe Bryant, right? That all who run, all the people who run in a race, some of you guys are runners, they all run, but only one wins, right? You ever been to a 5K? You ever been to a marathon or any of those things? You ever watched them? You have like three categories of people who do 5Ks, right? You have the people that are trying to win. No, seriously, you do. You have people that are trying to win. And then you have people who are running for sport. And then you have the walkers. It's the truth. You do. You have the people who are trying to win. You have the people who do it for sport. And you have people who are just the walkers. Do I need to go to where this is spiritually? As believers? In the believers, in the marathon of life, you have the people who are trying to win. You have people that are doing it for sport. And you have the walkers. Paul says, run your race to win. Don't just be a sport at it, right? He says, no. You be on the front lines and you run your race to win. How are you going to do it? By training. By training. They do it so they can take a prize. He says, everyone who competes in the game trains with strict discipline. Boy, we hate that word, don't we? That word discipline. I hate it, right? We don't like the word discipline. But I was going to ask you for a show of hands, but I'm not going to do that to you because I don't want to do that to our people. Like, I was going to ask you, like, who all feels like you're a disciple of Jesus and you're going to raise your hand. I said, well, do you know what that word means? Disciple is a disciplined one. You basically follow the disciplines of your master. If you're a disciple in whatever you're a disciple in, you follow the disciplines of your master. The disciplines of our master is Jesus, right? He's our master. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. So he's my master, right? He's the one I look to. And if I'm a disciple, that means I'm a disciplined one under his teaching. See, just in the word disciple, that word, that dreaded word, discipline, right? When you train and discipline your kids, right? I mean, hopefully you're training and disciplining your kids. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child, the whole thing, you know. I was trained a lot as a young man. How many of y'all were the wait till your father gets home? Is that anybody in here? You were the wait till your father gets home. And then, I mean, I remember one day, I don't even know why I'm going into this, but it's a funny story. I remember one day I had yelled at my mom, and I just, like, I'd really disrespected my mom. I think it was, and then she went to spank me, and I was like, that don't hurt, Mom. It's like, and then I got the, wait till your father gets home. So that means you stay in your room. And then my father came in, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. My father said, don't you ever talk to my wife like that ever again. I was like, that's not my mom anymore, evidently. That woman is now your wife and not my mom. Like, oh, we're on a whole different plane right about now. So discipline. You know what I did? I said, okay, that's your wife. Discipline. God does it for us, right? He disciplines us. He treats us like children, and he disciplines us. Why should we train so that we can run our race to win? Why do athletes train so they can be the best at their sport so they can win? Win, right? I have so much competition in me. I don't know. There's part good. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all are like that. Where's my competitive? Well, you're just competitive. Look out. Here I come. Watch out, because I am about to, like Kobe did, I'm about to poster you. I'm about to put you on a poster that you're going to be defeated, and I'm going to be up here just hanging on the rim, and you're going to be on the floor, right? That's kind of the way you're at. Like, my wife and I, when we first got married, one of the first games we got was Monopoly. That was like her favorite game was Monopoly.
Was?
Yeah, was. There's a reason, and I'll tell you why. So we were playing, so I was like, hey, let's get out the Monopoly. It's like, Julia, I was like, oh yeah, let's get the Monopoly game out. Let's just play. And so we almost needed like counseling right then after that. Cause I started winning. And you know, once if you play Monopoly, like once you start winning, yeah, you're gonna win. Like it's inevitable, right? When you start putting hotels on everything and they're still trying to get monopolies, right? You know, like it's, I'm winning. And then she says this, if you play Monopoly, she says this, do you want to make a trade? And this is where it all went downhill. Because my reaction was, no. Well, why don't? Why don't you want to? That's what she asked. Why don't you want to trade? I went, I'm winning. I don't need to trade. Then I learned that there are two ways to play a game. There is playing the game for fellowship. And then there's playing the game to win. I was playing like scripture. Oh, man. Oh. I was playing the game. Notice Julie's not here. She is in the kids' class this morning. But I know, all of you, I know because y'all have done it to me before. Y'all all march your way over there to her. And the first thing out of your mouth was the service great? Oh, yeah, it was great. And he tore you up. No. And then for this afternoon, it's not good. I am podcasting, and so whatever. But I've told this story a million times before. But she says, and then I realized that there's different ways that you play the game, right? And it's too late. It's too late. The game was over. And the sad thing about it is I didn't get to win. I didn't get to, you know. But it was how am I getting out of this one? So anyway. I learned a valuable experience. Yes. That my wife plays a game for fellowship, and I'm not trying not to make it her. She's not, you know, it's just a game, right? But I guess my point is I'm a competitive person. I'm just a competitive at nature. I'm competitive. I love sports. Last week, when the Falcons got beat terribly by the Patriots, it was 3 weeks in a row, but that one hurt last week. I mean, it's painful. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I just need to quote scripture over myself on All Day Monday because I was messed up. Like, are you kidding me? So anyway, but I'm a competitive person. I love sport. Even though I'm not a huge basketball fan, that amazes me that a human can do those things. Right? Because I've tried to, it didn't happen. Yeah, well, I'm not a good shot either. So, but I'm a competitive person, right? But the scripture says that we're supposed to run our race to win. Why do Kobe shot his jumpers? Because he shot his jumpers just because nobody, like, they were just natural things. He'd done it all the time. That last minute jumper is because he goes, he's hit that thousands of times. And so when he pulls up in that moment, watch it, when he pulls up in that moment and does his back, you know, his step back fade, right? Whenever he does that, he goes, I've done it a million times. So in the heat, watch this, this is important. In the heat of the moment, he knew exactly what to do because it was almost like muscle memory. Trained, because he trained. Why do Christians train? You know, I started teaching. I used to think this, and I'll answer my question. I used to think this. You kind of go through your life, and when temptation hits, you kind of muscle up right there in the moment. Maybe you just quote some scripture, and you look to God, and I didn't understand why I kept falling. Because I did what they told me to do in the moment. But it just didn't work. Because I still keep messing up. Then I learned a valuable lesson. The same thing with Kobe Bryant and regular athletes are true. I got to train for that moment. And that moment needs to come more natural than just a big all-out, I'm going to fight it again and fail. Because listen, if Kobe Bryant doesn't hit those shots all the time, if he don't shoot those shots all the time, in that moment, what's his confidence level in that moment to throw up that shot to win the game? Zero. See, we gotta train ourselves, right? Train, be a person that trains. Run our race to win. How do we run our race to win? As we train. As we train. Psalms 119, verse 11 says this. He says, your word have I hidden in my heart, that I would not sin against you. Interesting, right? Your word have I hidden. Hidden, that's past tense. Hidden, past tense. Your word have I hidden in my heart, so that when the temptation comes, I will not sin against you. When I deal with, quite honestly, I've had more success in helping people with this concept of dealing, and I'm going to talk about other things, not just sin, but with this concept of than any other thing I've ever tried before in my life. Because we've taught people just, in that moment, you just resist. Stand firm and resist. Well, if you don't have a firm footing, there's nothing to stand firm on. See, if that's not already built on the inside of you, you have nothing to stand firm against in that moment of temptation. Right? He says, the word I've hidden in my heart that I would not sin against you. Past tense. Day after day, Kobe would train and train. Oh, and then, I forgot to say this, and then after he would train, some of those days, they don't have practice every day, and some of those days, then the Lakers would have practice. So after those 6 hours, then he would have practice with the team. So he wouldn't go, oh, well, this is just part of the training. I'm just going to use it. No, no, no. He didn't, like, skimp, right? But I have more success when I deal with people, when I teach people how to do it this way. Train. Train. So that when temptation hits, you're ready. Ready. So how do we do that? We do it in multiple ways, and there's all kinds of different ways. I want to hit on this one, Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 5 through 18. Says this. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making most of the time because the days are evil. Right? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with, everybody say Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. You know what we're really talking about? What we're talking about is being filled with the Spirit. Well, I got filled with the Spirit a long time ago. Man, I remember it was 1991. And God filled me with the Spirit, and I spoke in tongues and everything. Right? I did all that stuff, and it was great. But you know what? Life hits. And life has a way of just zapping you of that, right? Actually, this scripture says, and if you look it up in the Greek, it actually says, do not be drunk, but be filled. It almost seems like that it's saying, that's what we're going to teach you how to do Bible interpretation. It's almost like that it's saying, be filled with Spirit, like right now, right? But this script, after that word, but you, be, that word be filled, where it says be filled, it's more like this. It's more be being filled. Is a real, real pull. If you pull out the Greek word right there, isn't that right, Craig? It's be being filled with the Spirit. What does it mean? Stay filled with the Spirit all the time. Continuously, all the time. Stay filled with the Spirit. Not just a one-time experience, not in 1992 when you Shandala died and everything, when you spoke in tongues, but but it's every day. Do you notice that in the book of Acts, that it talks about those people on the day of Pentecost got filled with the Spirit. They spoke in tongues and all that stuff. You know, a couple of chapters later, those same people were in another room, and the Bible said they were filled with the Spirit again. Continually. This is a continual being filled with the Spirit. How do you do that? How do you do that? You do it by, number one, meditating on God's Word. Meditating on God's Word. We talked about this a little bit at Spirit Life on Thursday, so if you're here, I'm sorry to repeat this. But take time to read these scriptures. You know, I don't know how you read your, if you read your Bible, how you read your Bible. But some of us need to slow down and read our Bibles. Like if you're reading and all of a sudden a scripture kind of just pops out at you, don't just brush past that. Maybe the Holy Spirit is trying to get you somewhere in that one scripture. Stay there. Meditate on it. How do you meditate on it? The word meditate in Joshua 1:8, which I don't have. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on the word, right? And the old Hebrew word meditate actually means to mutter, to actually speak, mutter it. Like, you know, God, I've hidden your word in my heart that I will not sin against you. God, I've hidden your word. God, what are you trying to speak to me in that scripture? Meditate on that scripture. God, what are you trying to speak to me? God, speak to me that. Is there an area that I need to be meditating on? God, is some areas, and ask just almost like a dialogue with the Lord, right? God, what are you trying to speak to me? Meditate on the word. And some of us just read the Bible, check, done it for the day. Out the door, are you running with me, Jesus? Here we go. You know? Begin to memorize part of it. Let it become your word I've hidden in my heart. Listen, allow the Holy Spirit to speak. Consider how that word fits in your life, just you, right? it's amazing the thoughts that came. My thought was, don't consider how it fits in your spouse's life or your friend's life. Or man, who really needs to hear that? I got that this week. I was like, I was doing something and God really spoke, I won't say it, but God really spoke to me a scripture, and I was like, oh man, that's so good. Man, how can I preach that? And I felt like the Lord went, that's not for you to preach, that's for you. I was like, oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Okay, how does that fit in you? Right? Become emotionally involved. Allow yourself to feel God's feeling towards that scripture to you and His desire in that. And then actually try to start moving to not only to meditate, but start to put that scripture in action. And you're like, God, how can I apply this in my life? So meditate on God's word. Well, listen, your word, the word of God is your strength. The word of God is your strength. And then it says this, next scripture in verse 19. Yeah, Ephesians 5. I didn't bold it. That's my bad. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says, instead be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs from the Spirit, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and always giving thanks to God the Father and for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he talking about there? He's talking about singing to yourself in psalms. You don't have to put it up. Singing to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What is he talking about? Stay in communion with God throughout your day. Another place that says pray without ceasing. Like, see, some of us have such a messed up idea. No, not you, other people. Some of us have not a very correct application of praying without ceasing. How about that? Because you think, like, how do I pray without ceasing? Like, I got stuff to do. Like, you know, I can't just, like, go into my prayer closet. Like, what are you doing? I'm praying without ceasing. I'll see you in eternity. Like, what does that even mean? Like, pray without ceasing. What is that saying? It's saying you open the lines of communication to God on a continual basis. That you pray without ceasing. You commune with God. Maybe during you're going through something in the office and you go, God, you got to help me. What's my response to this? God, because you're always with me. Are there times that you should pray and just seek God? Please, absolutely. But also, there needs to be a continual time of communing with God. On your way, like on your way to work, in your quiet times when like nobody else is around, just it's just you and him, and just you're by yourself. And some of your parents, you go, what in the by yourself? Is that like a real thing? But it's true. Like whenever you're like alone, like just you and God, singing to yourself, put on a worship thing. Or just you yourself, just commune with God. God, just I was thinking about today, and God, there was this one part that I was just really upset. I'm really sorry. I really didn't handle that correctly. God, would you just forgive? You see what I mean? You stay in that communal, I guess is the word, attitude of prayer throughout your day. It's not just a, you know, one time, you know, I got my prayer time this morning. I'll see you tomorrow, Jesus. Like, that is not like that at all. It's like, stay in communion. That's why God is an ever-present help in time of need. Ever-present. I used to, like, I wrote this in my notes. You know, amen is not like, see you later. Like, God, I thank you, God, for my day. Help me to have a great day today. In Jesus' name, amen. That means bye. Like, you know what I mean? It's amen. It means so be it. Amen means so be it. So to let it be done. So let it was written. So let it be done. Okay. And then watch this in Hebrews chapter 10. It says, and let us consider how we can, and then this talks about something different. Next point, Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider how we may spur one another onto love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know what? How do you stay filled with the Spirit? Don't do life alone. Don't do life without other believers. Don't do life without other people. You go, man, you know what? We have the greatest technology to help you not to stay alone in your life. Man, pull out your phone. You're having a tough day? Pull out your phone and text somebody. Hey, can you just pray for me? Or then the other way. You just go, you know what? William's been on my heart today. I'm just going to text him. William always has a good day. He never has a bad day, right? Text William, hey man, just wanted to bless you, man. I appreciate how you always encourage me and blah, 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 blah. Well, don't say blah, 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 blah. You know, a smiley emoji or whatever. You have a rough day, ask for prayer. Go have lunch with somebody. Listen, it's interesting. I gotta quit. It's interesting how these three things that we're talking about in training. I noticed this. It talks about it says things like this, as you see the days approaching, as the days get more evil. Can I just step back? I'm going to stay away from politics, but I do want to say this. Our nation is in trouble. Not listen. And not because it's the right or the left. We have a nation that we can't, listen very closely, we can't express our feelings about a topic without being blasted for it. Either way. I heard this guy told me this one day, and we got to be careful, right? I heard one person say this. Can I say something hard? It wasn't me, it was somebody else. He says, you know, some people are they're much more excited about winning somebody over to their political party than they are to Jesus. Listen, God Listen, you know, the answer to our problems, the answer to our situation, our country, is Jesus, who commands us to love others as he loved us. And you listen to I know it's not you, right? Right, not you. It's you hear the vile on both sides. And we say this because it just continues to get worse. We've never been so divided as a nation. But now it's gone to this whole nother level of just meanness. Can I just be simple and just say meanness? And listen, guys, we as believers, have your political stance, please. There's some stances that out there that we need to stand up for. We need to. But man, listen, the most important thing is to focus on God. Because he's the solution. He is the solution. As we love others, as God loved us, we can disagree in this room. Right? I gotta stay away. But the truth is, as the day approaches, as it gets more, this stuff's evil, right? You see people get up in a hotel room and just shoot people? Oh, that's terrible. Nope, that was an American. One of us. Listen, and it's not, I mean, I would hope that you don't get mad. I would hope this breaks your heart. Because listen, broken people, it's a saying, right? Hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. And we have a nation of people that are hurting. And my opinion is this. As we've said, God, we've tried you. Don't really want you anymore. We're out. We're going to do this on our own. That means I have my own morals. That means I have my own way of thinking. That means I can, whatever's right to me is right to me. And don't tell me what's right and wrong, because I've turned God away. The ultimate lawgiver, right? The moral judge. So now, we need to get back to God. And how do we do this? See how this will pull like as you see the day approaching, these things that I'm talking about, staying filled with the Spirit, staying trained up, they become more and more and more important. And what happens is, we, because of the push of our society and the world, they become less and less and less important as believers, when it should be just the opposite. Listen, because our nation is hurting, we need to be pressing into God like never before. Because really the truth is, this is not just about fighting off sin. Because I want to be ready. When somebody asks me why I have so much hope on the inside of my heart, I know it. You know why? Because I've trained. I spend time in the Word every day. I pray every day. I go to church. I'm a pastor every Sunday. But I do it. Why? Because the days are getting evil. The more the days are getting evil, the more I need to. The more of it is a necessity in me. Because I know that world is crushing and trying to pour its influence into my life. And I got to push back, because I'm telling you that their answers are terrible answers. But God gives us true answers from his word, right? And even right now, the enemy's trying to steal scripture out of you. Well, I don't even know if I really believe in this God thing anymore. Right? You know those thoughts? You know why? Because the days are getting more evil. And it's become a culture of people pushing their lives away from God. It's almost a spirit. And we have to fight it. We have to fight it. Amen? We have to be strong. Stand firm. So when the buzzer's about to go off and life's hitting us and we got to hit that three-point jumper because I don't want to go into extra innings, I need to be ready, because I've done that shot 1,000 times. I've hidden that word in my heart so many times that the enemy comes against me, no. Not to me you don't. And that comes from right out of my gut. Not to me you don't, devil. Not to me you don't. Because I've hidden my word, the word in my heart. And that when that time comes and that person's hurting in front of me, I have the words because I know the Spirit of God resides on the inside of me. Right? Don't be in a defensive posture. It's time. The scripture says this, and this is my last scripture of this series. It says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. Takes it by force. Takes it by force. The question is, are you running your race to win? I lied. Last scripture. Paul says this in verse 4. His life is about to be ended. He says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." He's not talking about leaving a city, right? He's talking about leaving earth. Listen to this. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith." Listen to this. "From now on, the crown of righteousness is laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, all who crave his appearing." There is a reward. And unlike an NBA championship trophy, although it looks awesome and cool and all that, it'll perish. This reward will last for eternity. Are you running your race to win? But David, I don't know how to pray, really. I don't know how to read my word. Figure it out. Seriously. I mean, listen. Nobody taught. I mean, who? Not figure it out. You know what I mean. Find the answers. Search it out. Pray failing, whatever that looks like. "God, I don't know the words to say." Perfect, start there. Communicate with God. "I don't know, understand these scriptures." Read it until something jumps out at you. Amen. Listen, as the day gets closer, and maybe we have a great falling away from the church like scripture talks about. Not me. If it's me and like two people in this room, I'm standing. I will not bow my knee. Because I know. You know why? Because I've trained. I've done the work in the background while nobody else sees. How do you have such a great merit? Prayer. I read my Bible and I go to church. How do you have such great kids? I pray and I read. I understand some things happen. I understand that. But I pray, and I read my Bible. How do you not go crazy? How do you not go crazy when your church doesn't grow? I pray. Seriously, and I read my Bible, and I go to church. Oh, that's what I was talking about last week, right? I pray, I read my Bible, and go to church. Amen? Let's all stand together. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're closer to the end than we ever have been before. And there's laid up a crown. There's laid up an award for me. And I live for that reward. I live for that day. For the day where Jesus will look at me and he'll say, "David, well, gosh, well done. You didn't do everything right, but well done. Well done. Enter into your reward." Maybe there's some in here. Just bow your heads with me. I'm going to take a moment to do this. I don't usually. But it's such an important thing. I want you to bow your heads. Nobody looking around. Just you and him. And you were to say this morning, I have not been running my race to win. The world, my own flesh, the enemy, has pulled my desires to other places. And I've kind of started to see some of the results of that even in my own personal life. And you say, I haven't been running my race to win. Not that you're raising your hand to me or anything, just as an acknowledgement, I'm going to ask you to do, I never do this, but I'm going to ask you to do this morning. If that's you, why don't you just lift your hand right where you're at and say, that's me, I need to acknowledge that. Yeah, hands all over the room. I have not been running my race to win, and I need to. I see your hands, you can come down. We're going to dismiss. If you raise your hand this morning, why don't you come down and have somebody pray for you this morning? We're going to dismiss. But don't listen. Start it right now. I'm going to make a hard decision. I'm going to have somebody pray for me this morning. I'm going to run my race to win. In Jesus' name. And as they sing, when they start singing, you can be dismissed. And God bless you as you go. Go out and push back the kingdom of darkness by love and kindness and the Spirit of God that lives in you. But if you need prayer, and we do, I'm going to ask you to come down this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed. Come down for prayer.